call this meeting to order. I now move to the approval of the proposed agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second. Support.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? The agenda is approved. I now move to the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the December 16, 2022 and January 11, 2023 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Support.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? The minutes are approved. I will now provide the President's Report of the University. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today, I just want to comment on some of the university highlights since we last met and to shine a spotlight on the collective work to move our university forward. I was proud to revive the State of the University address last month. It was a wonderful opportunity to recognize some of the progress we have made in the 2030 strategic plan and to honor several examples of MSU's excellence, equity, and impact. I want to extend my thanks to everyone who attended and remind you that you can view the address or just sections of it on the Office of the President's website. At the State of the University and in the weeks since, we have been sharing the 2022 No More Campus Survey results with the community. You might recall that the first No More Campus Survey in 2019 built a baseline for improvement and improved the development of our RVSM strategic plan. The 2022 survey showed several areas of progress, with some forms of victimization dropping, most measures of climate and culture improving, and high awareness of our training and policies. Among those findings, it was also good to see that incidents of workplace incivility and employee sexual harassment dropped significantly since 2019. But the results also tell us that there are areas that require more attention. This time, data was collected to be more inclusive of our transgender and non-binary community members. The results indicate that this group experiences victimization at a significantly higher rate than cisgender members of the community. Safe Place, counseling and psychiatric services, and the Center for Survivors are always available to anyone seeking assistance. But we understand that transgender and non-binary individuals might not fully trust or feel safe approaching these units. So the Gender and Sexuality Campus Center will partner with MSU Safe Place and other campus services to embed RVSM advocates and counselors within its programming. The Center for Survivors is also collaborating with MSU Safe Place to gather information to create peer-led support groups for GSCC-connected survivors of RVSM. And Counseling and Psychiatric Services has a dedicated counselor available weekly at this GSCC, Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to noon. Our RVSM special advisors, Professor Rebecca Campbell and MSU Police and Public Safety Deputy Chief Andrea Mumford, are leading our next steps. With the RVSM Expert Advisory Work Group, they are now in the campus engagement phase of their work. Dr. Campbell and Deputy Chief Mumford have reached out to the Faculty Senate, ASMSU, and COGS to invite their feedback. We've also invited campus community members to 4 in-person or virtual sessions this month to discuss the survey in more detail and provide input. There are members of the work group will answer questions about the data and collect feedback on improving services, prevention efforts, and policies. We all want to thank Professor Campbell, Deputy Chief Mumford, and the members of the work group for engaging so thoroughly with the MSU community on the survey. MSU is fortunate to have so many dedicated leaders, several of whom have recently earned new distinctions. A big shout out to Chief of Police and MSU Vice President for Public Safety, Marlon Lynch, who was recently selected by his peers to chair the Commission on Accreditation of Law Enforcement Agencies Board of Officers. To Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer, Jabbar R. Bennett, who was honored by the Not Alone Foundation and the Academy of Diamond Awards for his great work supporting students, faculty, and staff who are members of the historically underrepresented groups. And to Senior Vice President for Student Life and Engagement, Vinnie Gore, honored by the American College Personnel Association, College Student Educators International, for his powerful commitment to enhancing the lives of the college students and professionals while advancing student affairs in higher education. And on Monday, groups and individuals will be honored at the All University Excellence in Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Awards, including the Lifetime Achievement Award category. That award this year is shared by Kirk Duhurst and Marcia McDowell, both representing the College of Arts and Letters and MSU Museum, and DiNardo Pisana of MSU Extension. I want to thank these honorees for their years of work in supporting diversity, equity, and inclusion, and congratulate all of those being honored at this event for their dedication to MSU's core values. I want to now turn to our dedicated faculty and academic staff, starting with five researchers recently recognized for their excellence by their peers. The American Association for the Advancement of Science, or AAAS, is the world's largest general scientific society. This year, five faculty members representing five colleges have been named AAAS Fellows. Evangeline Alosija from the Colleges of Agriculture and Natural Resources and Engineering. Andrea Case from the College of Natural Science. James Fairweather from the College of Education. William Lovis from the School of Social Science. And Shinha Shu from the College of Natural Science. These researchers represent not only great excellence in the classroom and laboratory, but also shaping the way we teach and perform science to make it more accessible, impactful, and inclusive. They join more than 175 current and past Spartans who have been honored as AAAS Fellows, so congratulations to all of them. In another great example of making learning more accessible, this week we learned several of our mathematics faculty members will share a nearly $2 million NSF training grant. They are building communities of undergraduates, graduates, postgraduates, and faculty working in topology and related mathematical areas. Congratulations as well to the W.K. Kellogg Biological Station's Long-Term Ecological Research Program, which won a $7.65 million renewal of its foundation grant from the National Science Foundation. The nation's only long-term ecological research program focuses on the ecology of agricultural systems. This grant marks LTER's seventh straight successful funding cycle request and reaffirms the program's and MSU's reputation as one of the nation's premier research sites. And today, we are announcing that Michigan State was named a Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program top producing institution for the 2022-2023 academic year. That is set. This establishes MSU as the U.S. research institution to be named a top producer of Fulbright year scholars for the last nine consecutive years. This year, nine faculty members representing six MSU colleges earned Fulbright awards. They join the ranks of over 475 MSU scholars who have previously earned Fulbrights, teaching and pursuing research in countries from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe. As we approach the 168th anniversary of MSU's establishment on Sunday, our commitment to the tripartite mission of education, research, and outreach remains firm. And I am proud of the Spartans carrying on this noble work, including the students who engage in our Community Recognition Service Program Awards. Last month, along with the Center for Community Engaged Learning, we saluted 92 recipients of the 2022 Spartan Volunteer Service Award. In 2022, the group logged an impressive 19,824 hours of volunteer service with a market value of more than $593,000 contributed to our local community. You can clap for that, too. Before I close, I want to note that February is Black History Month and remind everyone of the many programs scheduled on campus to observe this month. Perhaps the most well-established of these events is the College of Osteopathic Medicine's William G. Anderson Lecture Series, Slavery to Freedom, an American Odyssey, now in its 23rd year. Among the exciting speakers being hosted by this series is higher education leader Freeman A. Harbosky. He is president emeritus of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, a minority-serving institution noted for its inclusive excellence. Programs such as the Anderson Lecture heightens awareness and brings new perspective to our university community as we continue to build a culture that is safe, welcoming, and supportive for all. With that, let us turn to the other items on today's board agendas. I will now call upon Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, for the gift, grant, and contract report.
Good morning. Chairperson Vassar, members of the Board of Trustees, I request approval of the awards found in the gift, grant, and contract report. The report period is November 15, 2022 through January 11, 2023. The total value for this period is $112,771,521.
Is there a motion to approve the gift, grant, and contract report?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? The gift, grant, and contract report is approved with our congratulations. Thank you.
So it's always my pleasure to present the research presentation part of the board meeting. Today we have a special treat, I think, that's really emblematic of MSU's engagement with Detroit and the community scholars there, emerging scholars. And today we're going to hear from the director of the Apple Development Academy. Dr. Sarah Gretter is an educational researcher and author of Design for Change in Higher Education with the John Hopkins Press, University Press. She earned her doctorate in educational psychology and educational technology from the College of Education at MSU and holds a master's degree in education from Harvard University. She is currently a senior academic specialist in the Office of the Provost at Michigan State University and the director of the Apple Developer Academy with MSU in Detroit. Her work really lives at the intersection of research, practice, and innovation in higher education. Please welcome Dr. Sarah Gretter.
Good morning, everyone. Interim President Woodruff, members of the Board of Trustees, thank you for having me today. It is a pleasure to be here to share my work in the field of educational research and to highlight the design process behind the Apple Developer Academy with Michigan State University in Detroit. But before I tell you all about it, allow me to start by showing you a little bit of the Academy experience. This past summer, we graduated our very first cohort of 100 students who completed our first pilot program. And what better way to introduce our initiative than by sharing with you their graduation video produced by our own university communications team. We went from a bare building with no staff and no students over a year ago to what you just watched is what my work is about. I merge educational research with contextual educational data to design evidence-based learning experiences that inspire students to pursue the next step in their life journey while aligning with university-wide strategic goals. This project did just that. It brought Apple together with MSU. Apple had worked on setting up academies worldwide for the past 10 years, and MSU as an intellectual partner to explore educational innovation, along with the support of the Gilbert Family Foundation to situate the experience in the heart of the city of Detroit. The Apple Developer Academy in Detroit is the first and only one in North America. And I often get asked the questions, well, why did Apple pick MSU? The answer is simple. We were willing to execute. We were willing to make small bets, all the while exploring big, bold ideas together. Our very first small bet together with Apple on campus was the iOS Design Lab. It's still running today with colleagues from the College of Arts and Letters and College of Business, which we launched together in 2018. We quickly attracted students from all over campus, and I'm talking computer science, kinesiology, journalism, even urban planning. Students wanted to learn how to develop apps and work around technology using Apple's ecosystem through a collaborative design thinking process. That small but successful bet led Apple and MSU to think bigger and build the Academy in Detroit around the same principles. Both at the Academy in Detroit and at the iOS Design Lab on campus, we teach students basics of coding, design, business, and management with Apple tools. In Detroit, though, we teach learners that may be fresh out of high school or have decades of work experience under their belt. Some have tech experience, and others may have never had opened a MacBook before this year. We cherish that diversity because we know from forecasting trends in technology that now, more than ever, we need diverse teams from a variety of backgrounds to design technologies that will tackle our biggest societal challenges. But unfortunately, we also know, though, from contextual data, that access to technology education is highly disproportionate in access, in quantity, and in quality. I mentioned that the Apple Academy in Detroit is the first one in the United States. We are also the first academy worldwide under Apple's newly launched Racial Equity and Justice Initiative, REGI, which is an effort to address systemic racism and expand opportunities for communities of colors across the country, but with a particular focus on education and a particular focus on Detroit. And we know from data like the Opportunity Atlas from the U.S. Census on the screen that where and for whom opportunities have been missing can be directly correlated to graduation rates and median income in adulthood. You can spot here easily on the map Grand Rapids, Flint, and Detroit as areas of high opportunity need. So our work in Detroit specifically aims at addressing professional mobility and economic growth for Detroiters who have often been systematically impacted by those disparities by preparing them for industries where technology is actually quickly becoming a central part of job requirements. Now, how did we go from this collection of disconnected maps and data points to the video you saw at the beginning of my presentation enters the field of learning experience design? It's a branch of educational research that brings research to reality through design practices. On the one hand, you have learning. So I take into account decades of empirical research on how the brain learns, how stress or physiological safety impacts learning, how emotions or our sense of belonging can support or derail personal growth. And on the other hand, I take research on experience design. That's how designers create beautiful experiences that appear seamless to the naked eye. Well-designed experiences are all around us. A great movie, a museum visit, Disney World, Instagram, IKEA is one of my favorite examples. Experiences where you get so immersed that you forget about everything else for that little moment in time. And I think of learning the same way, where the design of the experience should allow you to focus on what you're here for, to think, to reflect, to grow, to build relationships, and to make an impact in your life and that of others. What makes learning experience design unique, though, is that it is strongly contextual and systemic. No two experiences will look alike. One on campus will not look the same in Detroit, because we take into account how the environment around the learning experience itself affects learning. The school system, the home, the community, the media we're exposed to on a daily basis. All those things are part of the social, physical, and psychological context that can affect student achievement. Designing a learning experience in this vein implies mapping out what that system looks like, mapping out how research intersects with local and contextual data, and embedding multiple stakeholder voices in the process, especially student voices and early on in the project. A well-designed learning experience speaks for itself and turns research into reality. In only our second year in operation, we received at the Academy over 12 100 applications. We ran almost 400 selection interviews and accepted 200 tutors to our second year in the academy, with 40% women and an age range between 18 and 70 years old. Allow me to conclude by illustrating this reality through the stories of our own students in this year's cohort. This is the story of Doretha and Miss Gerald. They were not sure that they fit at the academy, only to realize that they actually have so much knowledge, experience, and wisdom to share with others. They are a dynamic duo you would not know, but born out of the academy, and they teach others confidence and grit on a daily basis. It's the story of Duke and the black shirt in the back, whom I met in a high school recruitment event last year. He had tried dual enrollment in high school, but did not feel in control of his education and decided college was not for him. And now, he does not want to leave. It's also the story of Andre, who was accepted last year and backed out last minute because he thought he was too old. It's only when he heard of our 64-year-old graduating student last year in the program that he said, well, if he can do it, so can I. And Andre is our most supportive and engaged student in the academy, and we just celebrated his 70th birthday with him this year. But it's also the story of my amazing team that runs the show on a daily basis. Take Annie, my academy manager. She's a Spartan alum who moved all the way from her hometown of Grand Rapids over a year ago to take a new job in an empty space in Detroit with no students, no colleagues, because she believed in the mission of the work we had set to do. Finally, it's a story that's gaining traction, but where need still exists. This year, we received funding from the state of Michigan to support our students, but even though the academy is a free program, the opportunity cost of being at the academy still remains high. 20 hours a week for 10 months has implications for cost of living expenses, transportation, childcare, without mentioning the earnings that students are not making to support themselves or their families while attending the academy. But more importantly, it is our story at MSU. We know that talking about innovation is easy. We do that a lot. But innovating is a whole different story, and it takes work. So I'm thrilled to be part of the story of an institution that is anchored in the legacy of its land-grant mission, but willing to reinvent itself and innovate as our world changes. So on behalf of the students and the staff of the Apple Developer Academy with MSU in Detroit, I want to extend an invitation to all of you to visit us at any time, and I thank you again for having me here today. I'm happy to take a few questions and to continue the conversation via email with anyone interested. Thank you.
What a powerful presentation. Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Provost Yaitsko, for your leadership board. Comments, questions?
I would just like to say, having visited you twice now, I have gotten to meet some of your students, and just the energy in that place is just incredible. So I just commend all the work that you and your team are doing. It's
thank
truly
you.
A fabulous place.
Thank
so
you.
Thank you.
Third time is a charm.
Visit us again.
Dr. Gritter, can you talk a little bit about the application process? So how does someone apply and then the selection process?
Yes, and great timing because we are about to launch our next round for applications for the third-year cohort, which will start this summer. Typically, we start with an interest form. We have some criteria that we want to follow to ensure that we are prioritizing Detroiters first. So we have an eligibility process at first. And then students that come in go through, believe it or not, group interviews as the first stage of the application process. So we reverse things a little bit because we're really interested in students who will do well in that type of environment, students who are creative, collaborative. We work around what we call kindergartner skills, which are really professional skills. Can you be nice to others? Can you share? Can you play well? All of those things. And then we focus on the skills themselves to get into the academy.
I have a question. You identified Grand Rapids. I'm from West Michigan. Wondering how you are connecting with students in that area, and then because it is such a distance for them, how are there scholarships for living expenses or the expenses of traveling back and forth for those students that are from West Michigan or maybe even Northern Michigan?
I'm glad you mentioned this. This is part of the larger conversations where we know there are needs in other places in the state, right? Right now we're really focused on Detroit, and because of that focus, we limit application criteria, especially for Detroiters. But we often get the question, well, how about the other, you know, other places in the states where the need is also high? Or what about those who can't drive from, further out in the state to get to Detroit? Or what about the ones that don't get accepted to the academy? So those are parts that we're working with Apple, especially as collaborators, on figuring out ways that we can redirect to other programming that could be of interest, and then connect the dots in the state so that there is both a sustainable but also cohesive strategy around how we approach it.
Yeah. So I just want to thank you, Dr. Gates. I've been trying to get, you know, I've been inviting you every time. Please come and talk to us, because I think it's a really amazing program. One, that MSU is the first to do this on this continent is really important to me. But then that they chose Detroit to partner with is really important. And so I want to just highlight what I think is the best parts of your program, that it's multi-generational. You said yes. Parents up there, but I met a grandma while I was there, right? Like, there's a grandma who is doing this coding work. So the multi-generational piece of that, the innovation, to me, is really important. But more than that, when you go into that space, you see that it's culturally responsive, but you also see that there's a collectivism that you don't see in other spaces. And that kind of collaboration and the work that they're doing is just amazing, right? They speak a whole different language, right? They do. I didn't understand most of it. Right? It was sophisticated. And like I said, multi-generationally, they were having this common conversation. I just want to commend you on having a co-constructed experience with them, where learning is centered in ways that are that show up as beauty. And I just appreciate you coming all this way to talk with us.
Thank you. Yeah. My pleasure.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Grant. Congratulations. Take back our excitement to your entire team, our thanks to the team, and our excitement to your students. Thank you again.
Thank you.
I now call upon Interim Provost Thomas Yitzko to present the personnel actions and information reports.
Thank you very much, Interim President Woodruff. Trustees, I present for approval the items on the February 2023 list of personnel actions. I present for approval the following tenured faculty appointment: Enrique Sierra Bajarejo, PhD, a professor, and Frederick S. Addy, Distinguished Chair of Economics in the Department of Economics, with tenure, effective February 10th, 2023. The action includes also a recommendation of Stefan J. Fletcher, PhD, JD, for the appointment of Secretary and Chief of Staff to the Board of Trustees. Effective January 30th, 2023. Also included in your materials are information reports for academic personnel actions.
Is there an enthusiastic motion to approve the personnel actions?
So moved.
Is there an enthusiastic second?
Yes!
Any discussion?
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. The personnel actions are approved.
Yay. Thank goodness.
I don't think anyone's happier than Brian Quinn.
Yep.
The artist formerly known as the board secretary.
We have retired the and. We now move to the Board of Trustees committee reports and other items requiring board approval. Trustee Rima Vassar will now present the Committee on Budget and Finance report.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As chair of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees authorize the administration to purchase the property located at 4660 and 4700 Hagedorn Road, East Lansing in Ingham County, Michigan, upon such terms and conditions as may be acceptable to the president or her designee.
May I have support for the motion?
Support.
Any discussion?
Norm Beauchamp, are you ready to discuss?
I am. Yeah, thank you. I'll begin by stating, if I could, you know, I have the opportunity to speak on two projects today. But it really is the extraordinary effort of so many people. I just want to call that out, whether it's partners in health sciences, infrastructure, planning and facilities, finance, faculty, staff, and community. It's just it's a tireless group, so I'd be remiss. So thank you all very much. In 2017, we laid out a plan to provide the best in care to students, faculty, staff, and our community. Efforts included addressing safety and compliance, tragic failings here on this campus, empowering the many great people serving, creating MSU healthcare, and recruiting additional leaders and clinicians. Hallmark moments have included building two research buildings, a nursing-led clinical practice, a physician assistant program, and McLaren Health System building a hospital adjacent to our campus. Now we seek a facility contiguous with our campus that will allow our providers to have a facility appropriate for the work they do and an ability to bring together our diverse providers to ensure integrative and comprehensive care for all. This project will allow us to do that, and I'm hopeful for your approval.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? The motion carries. Congratulations.
As chair of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to negotiate and execute agreements for construction of a turf grass testing facility upon such other items, such other terms and conditions as may be acceptable to the Executive Vice President for Administration, and be it further resolved that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby authorizes the administration to accept the gift of this facility after completion of construction. We have Kelly Millenbaugh and Trey Rogers available for
And before they come,
discussion.
I have support.
So moved.
And now discussion. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Very good.
Well done.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for considering this project. Many of you may be aware that turf grass has been a long-standing flag planting tremendous asset to this great institution over 7 decades of work on this. FIFA is involved in this. FIFA will be in North America, Canada, United States, and Mexico in 2026, and the work that we'll be able to do to support FIFA in 2026 is tremendous, and then what we will be able to do beyond 2026 is even more tremendous. We are excited about the work that's going to happen here, excited for our faculty to be able to engage in cutting-edge research to support so many within the turf grass space. Thanks for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Millenbaugh. My name is Trey Rogers, and I've been a professor on this campus since 1988. And involved in turf grass, and we got another project. And this one will dwarf every one that we've had. You could combine all of them together, and they would not fit under the wing of this one. So it's going to take a lot of people's support, and we've already had a tremendous amount of support from the university already. I think we'll make everyone here very proud, and I'll be happy to take any questions if you have them.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? We have a motion and support. May I call for a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstain? The motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, so a few more, a couple pages. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to plan for the project entitled Research Building in Detroit.
Thank you for the motion. Do I hear support?
Support.
Discussion? Can I call Norm again? Mm-hmm. We'd like to call in Norm Beauchamp, who's available to discuss.
Thank you very much. We recall a speech March 25th, 1966, in Chicago to a medical committee for human rights. Of all the forms of inequality, injustice in health is the most shocking and the most inhuman, because it often results in physical death. We know the speaker, Martin Luther King Jr., and many of us recall the words. Yet this history, tragically approaching 60 years later, repeats itself such that the color of your skin or the zip code in which you live determines how long you will live, your survival if you have cancer, or the health of your baby. This history, if we're not going to continue to repeat it, requires us to plan, to do, and to act. The building we propose today will allow us to partner in bringing a world-class academic health system to the great city of Detroit. It will house 100 scientists that will focus on cancer, women's health, and health disparities. It is in a partnership with a health system that has served the great people of Detroit for over 100 years, Henry Ford Health. It will be at the center of a $2.5 billion campus redesign that will provide state-of-the-art care, a place to train the next generation of scientists, and attract industry partners that will create jobs and bring economic uplift. This is all a part of a plan you all helped make possible in 2021, and it is central to the sustainable health pillar of our strategic plan. It will bring together strengths campus-wide into partnerships with the great people of Detroit. And I'm hopeful for your support in moving this plan forward so that when we revisit the history of health in 2030, the story told will be one we can celebrate.
Thank you, Nora. We have a motion and support. I now call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstain. The motion carries. Congratulations, Norm.
It's important work. As chair of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to plan for the project titled Campbell Hall Renewal.
Thank you for the motion. Do we have support?
Support.
Discussion? Vinnie Gore is here to discuss.
Campbell Hall is located at the historic entrance of Michigan State on the corner of Abbott and Circle Drive. It was built in 1939 by WPA funds, so it has a rich history. In fact, Chrisman Construction was the local contractor that built the building. It houses 250 students. It will also be the home of the Living Learning Program from the Honors College. So we ask your permission to begin to plan for the renewal of this building.
Motion and support. Any further discussion? I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? The motion carries.
For this next project, I would like to defer to Trustee Scott for the motion.
Thank you, Chairperson Nassar.
No problem.
I enthusiastically move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to proceed with the project entitled the Multicultural Center with a project budget of $38 million. Be it further resolved that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby grants a variance to the university zoning ordinance to permit construction within the protected green space. I will now present Vinny Gore again. He should just stay at the mic.
And thank you for that motion. Do I have support?
Support.
So this project, I have the pleasure to walk on the shoulders of many people. This has been a labor of love for Dr. June, Lee June, who is here. And I wanted to specifically recognize Lee because Lee's been with the university almost 50 years. 37 years he served in administrative roles supporting students. And this has been something that is near and dear to his heart and many students that he has mentored over the years. This project is a culmination of our community coming together, led by two students, Sharon Reed Davis and Miracle. And they were the ones who really pushed this and collectively worked across the university student community, whether it was ASMSU, COGS, RJ. And that brings us together. And our faculty and staff and alums have all participated in this process because this truly is a university building. And so we want to thank you for your support. We want to thank all the people who have given their blood, sweat, and tears over the years to bring this here. And also I want to recognize Lee. He's very bashful, but he's – So what you may not know, Lee has mentored me through this whole process, and I just want to make sure that I recognize and honor him. So thank you.
Benny, thank you so much. We have a motion, we have support, and I'd like to now call for those all in favor.
Aye.
I saw some ayes from the audience. I'm not going to call for anything else. I'm just going to say the motion carries. Thank you.
Last one. So as chair of the trustee committee on budget and finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to proceed with the project entitled Farm Lane Bridge with a budget of $44 million. And
I'd like to call, thank you for the motion, call for support. Thank you. Discussion from Dan Bowman.
Good morning. Not as exciting as a multicultural center, but Farm Lane Bridge was built in the 30s, and it's deteriorated to the point where it really needs to be replaced. It's a critical thoroughfare across campus, not only for mobility, but also for life safety and emergency response. We're going to take advantage of replacing the bridge with an opportunity to upgrade all the utilities along that corridor, so it really is a strategic infrastructure project that's going to be disruptive for a couple of years, but critically important for our success as a campus.
Thank you, Dan. We have a motion. We have support. May I call for all in favor?
Aye.
Any abstentions or opposed? The motion carries.
Great job.
Does this conclude your report?
This concludes my report.
Thank you very much for that report. We now move to Trustee Dennis Denno, who will present the Committee on Academic Affairs report.
Thank you. The committee has no report.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We now move to Trustee Dan Kelly and the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance.
Thank you. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board reappoint Plant Moran as our external auditors for the year 2022-2023.
Thank you. Support?
Support.
Discussion?
Just a brief comment. This is the Plant Moran has done our audits for at least the last four years. This is the fourth year of a six-year cycle, and at the end of that, we will do, as we always do, go out for a request for bid on this.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board hereby approve the following: an option agreement with CAV Gene LLC, a license agreement with Environmental Protective Coatings, a service agreement with Great Lakes Crystal Technologies, a license agreement with Scion Plasma LLC.
Do I have support?
Support.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed or abstained? The motion carries.
I'll make a motion. Be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the Michigan State University hereby authorizes releasing a report from Quinn Emanuel upon the conclusion of Quinn Emanuel's independent review. And I have a comment.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Support. Discussion?
Very briefly, currently I know there's been a lot of interest with regard to the Quinn Emanuel report and review. There is no report as of today. The board has been advised that Quinn Emanuel has completed their review and the interviews. The board has requested that the report be prepared and finalized, and this motion authorizes the public release of that report when it's completed.
Thank you. The board calls the Secretary Fletcher to call a roll call vote, please.
Thank you very much, Interim President Woodruff. Trustee Byram?
Yeah.
Trustee Denno?
Yes.
Trustee Kanecki Jefferson?
Yes.
Trustee Kelly?
Yes.
Trustee Pierce?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tebay?
Yes.
And Chairperson Bassett?
Yes.
Interim President Woodruff, the vote is 8-0.
Thank you. The motion carries.
That concludes my report.
Thank you for that report. We now move on to the Committee on Student Life and Culture, and I call upon Trustee Kelly Tebay.
Thank you. The Committee on Student Life and Culture has been working with Vice President Gore and our students on the structure of the committee, as well as including student voices in the presidential search and updating the policy around the committee as well. So that's all I have for my report.
Thank you very much. I now call upon Board Secretary Stephen Fletcher to invite public participation.
Thank you very much, Interim President Woodruff, and good morning, everyone. We will now proceed to the public participation portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. We will now hear from Dennis Strahl, followed by Ryan Gazol. Dennis?
Good morning, Board, and thank you for allowing me to speak today. I am Dennis Straley from Eagle Township, Michigan. We're west of Lansing. I am here to speak about MSU's potential sale of property in Eagle Township that was donated to MSU by Eagle Township's late David Morris. First, I want to read to you the Township Mission Statement. You may already have it in front of you. I did try to provide information yesterday, so good. It says, and I quote, "The mission statement of the Eagle Township Board is to look forward toward the next decade to develop the community at a reasonable growth rate and yet protect the varied natural resources of the township's land and its people," end quote. As has been seen in the media and in releases from MSU, MSU is considering sale of this property, about 1,100 acres. This sale is comparable to the site in Marshall, Michigan, that is also defined as a mega site. In the information I provided you, I offered the selling points of the mega site in Marshall. I hope you have a chance to go through those. I don't have time to go through those now, but they are important points. I also included a future land use map of Eagle Township. It clearly shows the large area of our township that would be changed from agricultural preservation to some sort of industrial zoning if MSU did make the sale as a mega site. And on that one, if you have it in front of you, it's the red circle in the bottom right corner. And it's a chunk of our township. For even more definition, I included a map that the Lansing Economic Area Partnership, LEAP, has offered of this potential megasite. It is a huge acre, a huge parcel, 1,100 acres. LEAP calls it the Michigan Manufacturing Innovation Campus. Quite a mouthful. We in Eagle call it part of our home. We in Eagle see it as farmland. Dave Morris, the donor, called it farmland and leased it to a local farmer to continue as farmland for at least 25 years. Is there a better solution than a mega site? Most of us in Eagle Township definitely believe so. I would offer that maybe MSU could please reconsider the sale of this property to be something other than a mega site. No doubt there are numerous local farmers who would give a very good price for this prized farmland. That's my time up.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you so much, Dennis. Ryan, next we have Ryan Gazol, followed by Nancy Bella.
Good morning, trustees. My name is Ryan Gazelle. I'm a former director of business development for MSU's AXIA Institute, funded by Dow. I hold the 7th degree conferred in the Gazelle name and have been on campus since the year I was born. I was also assistant director of Spartan Innovations Venture Fellows Program and created the only model to commercialize pharmaceuticals developed in academia, supported by leadership and the MSU Foundation. In 2018, I accepted an offer to join AXIA by former executive director Catherine Franz at a closed-door meeting. I was to replace the incumbent director who was suddenly and unexpectedly retiring. The offer was based on merit for prior work I completed for AXIA through Spartan Consulting. The recommendation was later heavily supported by staff I still call friends. After a few weeks in my new role, I discovered not only the most importantly toxic environment which I ever worked, but fraud and financial impropriety. Franz was offering million-dollar contracts to potential clients such as IBM, containing promised services the Institute could not deliver, and resources we didn't have. She reported rollover financials to Dean Gupta in my presence. Broad was in a quid pro quo gift agreement with Dow, and Franz contracted Professor William Donahue to work for Axia while Donahue was on unpaid university suspension for what was reportedly his fourth sexual harassment charge. Franz knew, and leadership knew. As the end of my contract neared, while managing now Dean Whipple, I found myself with a new contract offer from Franz after my final day in office. It included a gag order, and I refused to agree to its terms. Instead, I reported what MSU trained me to discover to Gupta and former Dow CFO Don Sheets. 2 weeks after my final day in office, Franz filed a false police report against me, seemingly in retaliation for blowing the whistle on her actions. She claimed I was in Midland threatening and harassing staff at Axia while I was in Rochester Hills at dinner with my mother. She then took the semblance of that false report and sent it to my professional contacts, including former employers, which ended my post-MBA career. At the onset, all I asked for was MSU to pay what it still owes me for services rendered and a meeting with leadership and staff at Axia to discuss what we all experienced. Today, MSU General Counsel continues to aggressively defend a known false witness after her forced resignation, according to a faculty affidavit, resulting in my initial reporting to ensure leadership maintains Larry Nassar as protection. Their current defense is that Franz had the right to lie to the police about me, file a false police report, and use it in retaliation for reporting her actions, because she had absolute privilege as a university employee. The lesson MSU is teaching, take the money and shut your mouth or else. Unfortunately, I couldn't do that. To date, doing the ethical thing has cost me over $650,000 in total compensation, not to mention my attorney bills and reputation and career. I'm asking the board to intervene, investigate, and make right what is wrong. The time is now. The prime opportunity is here for MSU to prove to the world and its business partners and potential incoming classes that it changed since NASA will no longer cover up the unconscionable. I'm Ryan Gazelle. I'm a Spartan in practice. My question and that of the ethical faculty, staff, and students of this university is, are you as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Our next speaker is Nancy Vella, followed by Parvez Saparwala.
Hi, my name is Nancy Vella. I'm here again to discuss the reinstatement of Sanjay Gupta. First, let me congratulate Dr. Rima Vassar as the new board chair. I'm encouraged by this change and look to your leadership in the Sanjay Gupta matter. I will start my comments by quoting in part Article 7 of the Board of Trustee bylaws. Nothing in these bylaws or regulations issued pursuant thereto shall prevent the Board of Trustees taking prompt action on urgent financial and personnel matters necessary to the best interests of the university. This board has been granted the authority in the bylaws to take action with regard to the reinstatement of Sanjay Gupta. You also have a fiduciary duty as elected officials to take action. Your current lack of action has already caused harm to the business school, the students, the faculty, the alumni, and the university as a whole. After my comments at the December board meeting, I had alumni call and email me stating they too are withholding donations to the university. I further understand the business school has lost tens of millions of dollars in donations from alumni who no longer want to support this university. All of you know from the Quinn Emanuel report that Sanjay was wrongly removed as dean. You know that, yet don't have the intestinal fortitude to do something about it. A well-respected law firm has exposed the shameful and hurtful acts performed by the interim president when she served as the provost, and yet you continue to support her and let her control your actions. You know Quinn Emanuel report is a damning indictment of the university in its discriminating application of its policies and the blatant misapplication and vindictive retaliation by the interim president, who somehow you endorsed to lead this university. The truth will come out either in a full report being released or in a messy litigation. This investigation has cost MSU over $1 million, and after 6 months, we have neither a written report nor a resolution to the wrongful termination and defamation of a good dean. The forced resignation of Dean Gupta was a gross mistake, but this mistake is fixable. Why is it the board lets Teresa Woodridge influence their behavior and good judgment? Has the board forgotten they are the ones who hire and fire the university president? She is not a leader. She is not a true Spartan. A Spartan would admit they had made a mistake and fix it. Teresa is a Spartan won't. She won't do the right thing. She is focused on herself and what the university can do for her, not what she can do for the university. My final message to the board is, do the right thing. Reinstate Dean Gupta and release the full Quinn Emanuel without any redacting. The healing needs to begin now. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Our next speaker is Parvez Saparwala, followed by Roshni Kulkarni and Thiru Vengadam.
My name is Parvez Saparwala. I'm a retired professor at Grand Valley State University, and I'm an MSU alumni. I was going to have a last spiel about how Dr. Dean Gupta was instrumental in making this Broad College great, but you all have agreed to release the report. I'm just hoping that you will release the report as soon as possible so that his reputation is cleared and he can get back to doing what he does best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Roshni Kulkarni and Thiru Vengadam, our next speakers, and then followed by Kathy Petroni.
Good morning, President Woodruff, members of the board, faculty, students, and friends. My name is Roshni Kulkarni. I'm a professor emeritus of pediatric hematology oncology in the Department of Pediatrics and Human Development, College of Human Medicine. I have been a faculty member since 1977, and both my husband and son are alums of MSU. As such, our family has a deep connection and a strong vested interest in the reputation of MSU as a safe, intellectually driven, and socially responsible institution that values integrity, transparency, and ethical behavior. My family, as do many others in this room, believe that MSU is a place that inculcates good, morally grounded citizenship values not only in the over 50,000 students year after year, but also faculty and staff, especially junior faculty. We therefore must practice good behavior and transparency if we are to serve as role models. The issue at hand is that public funds were used to launch a third-party investigation into the administrative actions as well as the circumstances surrounding the termination of Dr. Sanjay Gupta as the dean of MSU's business school. Since public funds were used to conduct the investigation, the university owes a prompt and timely disclosure of that report to the public at large. I believe the challenges faced by the university during the past few years should have taught us many lessons, the foremost being the value of transparency. We owe it to the public to be transparent and release the reports immediately and without delay to preserve the reputation of not only MSU, but also Dr. Gupta, a well-known and respected member of our community. In fact, I would like to believe that like Sir Dr. Sanjay Gupta, the board, the university, the president, are all persons of integrity who believe in the transparency and openness. We must set an example and transform this crisis into a learning moment. We all can learn something from the report to prevent future occurrences and preserve the reputation of our premier institution. I'm a hematologist, pediatric hematologist, but my blood is green and white, and I love this institution. So I think we can really do something about it. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Kathy Petroni, followed by Shawnee Vickery.
Yes, hi. Good morning. I'm Kathy Petroni. I'm the Deloitte Michael Licata Professor of Accounting Emeritus. I've been at Michigan State for over 30 years. The highlights of my career include earning a University Distinguished Professor and serving 3 years as an Associate Dean under Dean Sanjay Gupta. I submitted a letter signed by 22 full distinguished professors within the Broad College asking for the full release of the Quinn Emanuel report. My letter is somewhat irrelevant right now because you guys just approved the release of the report. So I just would like to thank you on behalf of the faculty for making that decision, since we think that that is the right one. We look forward to the details of the report. Again, we hope they are not redacted and fully reveal the process by how our dean was pushed out of his position. So in closing, I thank you for that decision on behalf of the professors in the Broad College. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Shawnee Bickery, followed by Alec McCary via Zoom.
Shawnee's not
okay. Thank you so much, Kathy. Then our next speaker is Alec McCary via Zoom.
Hi there, guys. I speak today representing the board of the Broad College of Business Advisory Board and the Financial Market Institute Board. We are a group of MSU alumni who have been Spartans for as long as 50-plus years. We have been students, significant donors, employers of MSU students, and active members of boards at Michigan State. We deeply care for MSU. We recognize the increasingly difficult decisions that have faced. And it was good to hear that you guys plan on releasing the report. We wanted to make sure it's a full, detailed, written report and that it is released as soon as possible. Through many sources, we have gathered facts that suggest strongly that Dean Gupta's dismissal was inconsistent with MSU practices. Dean Gupta's leadership team, who attended the party in question, reported the incident in a timely manner, within days of the event. Dean Gupta cooperated with his leadership team and with the OIE investigation and never tried to cover up anything. 3 months after the incident was reported, the OIE office told Dean Gupta that he should have also reported the incident. Dean Gupta didn't realize that he needed to report an incident that he knew his staff had already reported. The OIE recommendation was for Dean Gupta to take a refresher course in reporting, and from our understanding, he has already completed this course. So we ask ourselves, why has Dean Gupta cooperated with his leadership team and OIE throughout the reporting investigation? Why has he fully cooperated with Quinn Emanuel during this investigation? Why has he waited patiently for the Board of Trustees' due process? Because he is innocent and has nothing to hide. We then look to the other side of this investigation and we ask, why has the interim president obstructed the investigation, encourage MSU employees to not cooperate with Quinn Emanuel, discredit the Board of Trustees' actions for the investigation in the press, lie to the Faculty Senate about the events, and threaten retaliation for those who seek and value the truth? Does that sound like the actions of an innocent person? The truth will come out either way, because either the board will willfully be transparent and admit a mistake was made and offer Dean Gupta his deanship back, or in a messy, protracted litigation that unfortunately has become all too common at MSU. Sanjay is a man of unquestionable integrity, and his dedication to the university has shown that he is a true Spartan and exhibits Spartan will. I'd like to end by quoting my fellow FMI board member and former president of the Broad Advisory Board, Brian Van Alzenmutter. I plead with you, for the sake of the long-term reputation of Michigan State, to protect the advancements we have made within Broad and throughout the university, and for the decency of treatment of a great leader, please make the right and fair decisions now. The power is in your careful hands. The positive outcome will benefit us all for a lifetime. Your failure to act would be a return to the morass we've suffered before. Go green, go white, go truth.
Thank you, Alec. Our next speaker is Shashi Gupta via Zoom, followed by Tom Munley.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to address the board. I'm Shashikant Gupta. I got an MBA in 1975 and a PhD in economics in 1980 from Michigan State. As a young boy growing up in India, I read about the Spartans at the Battle of Thermopylae. I admired the Spartans for their code of ethics, courage, integrity, and duty, They were my childhood heroes. So when I came to Michigan State, I was delighted that our mascot was a Spartan. In fact, my wife and I built our company on these very same Spartan values. In 2016, we endowed the Gupta Value Scholarship at Michigan State, University of Michigan, and a community college in Virginia. And last year, we created the Gupta Ethics Lecture Series at Michigan State. We were also planning a significant contribution to the Michigan State Institute of Ethics, which Dean Gupta had co-founded. When I got the call from President Stanley on the day of Dean Gupta's removal, I was struck by the almost cavalier explanation for the action, a so-called reporting technicality. My initial reaction was a concern that perhaps this was hasty and an overreaction. Then as I learned about the situation, more about the situation, I also became concerned about the intention behind the dismissal. Taken together, the heavy-handed decision, the discouragement of faculty and staff to participate in the independent review, and the shrouding of Quinn Emanuel's report until this morning in a veil of secrecy, all cast serious doubts on the intention and the integrity of the process. To restore confidence in the university's integrity, I was going to ask the board to do two things. One, they've already done this morning, and so I thank you for that. That's a big step in the right direction by agreeing to release the full and unredacted report from Quinn Emanuel. So thank you for that. But I think they should follow through with another action. It's been 6 months or more since Dean Gupta was dismissed from his position. This has come at a great cost to Dean Gupta's personal and professional reputation. So I ask the board, reinstate Dean Gupta while it completes its deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you, Shashi. Before we proceed, I believe Shawnee Vickery has joined us. So, Shawnee, we want to maybe provide an opportunity for you to speak if you choose or if you wish.
Good morning. It's nice to see everybody this morning. I want to thank the board for agreeing to release the Quinn Emanuel report in full, unredacted. And I'd also like to say that in the interest of transparency, this is a huge step forward. And I think it would also be useful if the board revisited the requests from the Attorneys General of Michigan for release of information and documents pertaining to the external Nassar investigation. But I do want to thank the board, and I thank you for hearing our voices. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shawnee. Returning to our list, Tom Munley is the next speaker, followed by Adam Grant via Zoom.
Good morning, trustees, and for the two new trustees, welcome to the board. My name is Tom Munley. I'm an alum of the program, the swimming and diving program, as well as the Broad College of Business, an accounting major, so interesting day to be here. I'm here for two reasons today. One is, as we've continued to work over the last 2.5 years to get the Spartan Swim and Dive team reinstated, there was a number of obstacles that have been raised, and I think we've gotten to the inflection point where all those obstacles have been taken down. And I would like to thank President Woodruff for her willingness to actually engage with us, which is a noted change from the previous president and the lack of leadership that we saw. I'd also like to thank Dr. Rima for her continued support as we've continued to work through this process. I do want to share with everybody from a public standpoint that over the last month we've worked extensively with Vivian Leung in the Spartan Fund office to actually confirm the support that we have. One of the critiques that Bill Beekman had of the many things that he got wrong, one thing that was right is historically we did not have the financial support that was required to sustain the program. We believe that we have that support now. Again, I'm a little heartbroken that we couldn't get this support in place to keep the kids in the pool that have been removed for the last 3 years, but it's time to move that forward. I think the other obstacle was the Title IX lawsuit, and I should say the first Title IX lawsuit, because that has since reached a settlement agreement, which has been interesting to read and digest from our perspective. A particular note, though, is Section 6 in that agreement, which actually calls for the Gender Equity Review Director to review the fair and equitable treatment, which means as they go through this process, it's not just going to be participation numbers. They're going to look at everything. That means dollars. That means opportunities. That means if the football team goes to see a movie, you have to take 110 women student athletes to go see a movie. If you take the basketball team to Greece to play a game in the Parthenon, you have to take the women's basketball team. So I highlight this to say that if we don't and can't figure out a path forward to get swimming and diving reinstated, our group will focus on using the power of FOIAs, which I think you all know we do very well, to make sure that not a single dollar is unaccounted for in that compliance. And I also mentioned that this was the first Title IX lawsuit because there's also nothing in the agreement that bans us from bringing another suit. And since Michigan State has clearly shown a willingness to write checks to plaintiffs, I can't imagine it's going to be that hard for us to go find another woman on campus who would like to get a check for $10,000. Again, this is us just reminding you that we are still here and we are not going anywhere. Lastly, and I think this is incredibly important, we believe that we are doing this in the right way, in a positive way, to move this university forward. We believe that President Woodruff and the change in leadership to A.D. Haller, who's not here, and I look over for Vinny Gores because I know he's instrumental in the pool and the construction of the Wellness Center, all of this continues to be something that we are actively supporting. And I would say that when you look at the groups on campus, is there a group that has been more positive in trying to move forward and realize the benefit of the university as a whole than us? I would say probably not. Lastly, though, I would like to say that I don't know Dean Gupta that well. I follow him on LinkedIn. I would say that from a Broad alum, it was always encouraging to see him like and engage with alumni on a very broad basis. That's something that you can't put a price on. And I would say that I would encourage his reinstatement, assuming the report is released. And lastly, release the emails. I mean, you're going to hear from Posse, I know, again today. It's been 3 years, almost every meeting they've been here. And again, release the NASTRA emails. And one last thing, and I know I'm over time, but if you haven't read the article in the State News by the, I think it's the cultural affairs editor, about her experience reporting her Title IX, I'll be honest, I was heartbroken and crushed, and all I thought was, go move that office. I mean, there are so many buildings on campus. Why should somebody have to walk past the financial aid line to go report that? I mean, that is just something that I can't fathom having to do. I've got 3 daughters. I can't fathom having them have to do that in that situation. So please, that should be an easy thing to go do, especially with all the space on campus. Thank you very much, and go green.
Thank you very much, Tom. Our next speaker is Adam Grant via Zoom, and then Rex Lamour.
Good morning, trustees. I'm Adam Grant, an organizational psychologist at Wharton, and it was 2 years ago that I spoke to the board about the risk of escalating commitment to a losing course of action and the importance of staying open to rethinking, especially our most consequential decisions. I was talking from my professional expertise in the hopes that you would rethink the decision to abandon Spartan swimming and diving. And today, I want to talk from my personal experience and tell you why that matters to me and to so many future student athletes. Back in 1999, I was a high school senior. I told my parents I had narrowed down my college decision to 4 schools: Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and MSU. And that was because of your diving coach, Eric Best. He wasn't the coach at MSU yet. He was the coach at my high school in Michigan. When I showed up at tryouts as a freshman, I had no talent. I walked like Frankenstein. I couldn't touch my toes without bending my knees. I could hardly do a flip, and I couldn't really jump. But Eric welcomed me onto the team anyway. He said, "I have a simple policy. I will never cut a diver who wants to be here." That season, I was the worst diver on our team. But when the season ended, Eric volunteered to coach me through the offseason and never asked for a dime. By the time I graduated 4 years later, I was a state finalist and an All-American. And Eric had transformed me as an athlete, but much more importantly, he transformed me as a person. He was the single biggest reason I ended up getting into Harvard and deciding to go. And he was the reason that I ended up studying psychology, because he had so much wisdom about what it took to overcome my fears. Since then, I've become a professor, an author, and a podcast host. I've had incredible fortune to learn from Nobel laureate scientists, presidents and prime ministers, Navy admirals, Fortune 500 CEOs, billionaire entrepreneurs, Grammy-winning musicians, Oscar-winning directors, astronauts. Everyone on Earth that I want to learn from, I've had a chance to sit down with. But in my life, the person who's taught me the most is Eric Best. I want to give you a few examples of the wisdom that he's imparted over the years. One of my biggest challenges as a diver was learning a new dive. I was afraid of heights. I was also afraid of back smacks and belly flops. So I would just stand shaking at the end of the board, afraid to go. And one day, Eric asked me, Adam, are you going to do this dive? And I was like, ever? Yes, of course, one day I will do this dive. And he said, great, what are you waiting for? I have heard that voice at every pivotal moment in my career. When I was afraid to get on stage for my first TED Talk, I heard Eric's voice saying, are you going to do this one day? And I said, yes. Well, then what am I waiting for? Another example, much more recent. Last night, one of our daughters was frustrated after what she thought was a bad diving practice. And she said, it wasn't a good day. What did I do? I asked the questions that Eric taught me to ask. Did you make yourself better today? Yes. Did you make someone else better today? Yes. Then it was a good day. And just quickly to wrap up, Eric is only one coach, but he embodies the values that you strive to instill in every Michigan State student, a relentless commitment to personal growth and social contribution. He makes us all better, and I can't imagine a greater force for good at MSU than bringing him and Spartan Swimming and Diving back. Thank you.
Adam, thank you so much. Rex Lamour is our next speaker, followed by Joe Garza.
Good morning. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Ad Hoc University Investment Sustainable Investment Working Group and draw your attention to the resolution that the University Council recently passed regarding our policies guiding our investment in the endowment. So I'd like to draw the board's attention to the three aspects of that resolution that we would like the board to take action on. In specific, we ask the board to define the term social conscience that you have within your policy that guides our investment practices. The vague term really doesn't have any clear definition. We encourage you to engage the MSU community in defining what that means and then adhering to that in applying that definition to the work that our investment consultants do on behalf of our endowment. And that is our first ask, that you define what you mean by social conscience. The second ask is that we recommend that you diversify your investment consultants. We recognize that by gaining input and advice from a number of different consultant firms who have experience both in investing in socially responsible investment, investing in Michigan, and women and minority investment firms, that the board will get good advice and counsel on how to manage our investment so that it reflects the social values that we at Michigan State University articulate both in our strategic plan and our diversity, equity, and inclusion commitments. And then finally, we ask that the board work to remove the veil that covers the work that you do in the finance, budget and finance committee as it relates to the investment process. Let us know what decisions are being made in that investment. We're not asking you to reveal private information about particular investments, but let us know how are we performing in reaching our social conscience goals and what kinds of major decisions have you made that guides the investment of our portfolio. So we're excited with the new leadership in the board, Dr. Rima and others on the finance committee. We look forward to your leadership in implementing these recommendations as proposed by the University Council and supported by a broad number of organizations across this campus. And I thank you for the opportunity to bring this to your attention. And we look forward to helping MSU achieve its full potential as a leading university standing by its values. Thank you.
Thank you, Rex. Our next speaker is Joe Garza, followed by Deb Bittner.
Good morning, Ward. Oops. My name is Joe Garza. I am the president of the Administrative Professional Supervisor Association, representing 1,300 members, and I serve as the chair of the Coalition of Labor Organizations. The support staff are personally invested in the success of the university. We are the constant in the ever-changing forces within the university. If you look at the reasons for the successes the university has achieved, look no further than the support staff. When the university was concerned about its financial position, it came to its employees for concessions. We worked through these issues and arrived at an agreement that helped the university and preserved some important benefits for employees. the shared sacrifices we have made for the success of this university were high, but we were willing to pay that price for the greater good. When the university established it was in a better position, the university took steps to remedy some of those concessions, and we appreciated that effort. While the academic staff has seen compensation gains, which we support, those similar compensation gains have not been realized by the support staff. We support the MSU Strategic Plan 2030, which outlines investing in faculty and staff to attract and retain great people. In her State of the University address, Interim President Woodruff noted that the university's financial health has remained solid. She stated that enrollment has remained strong, revenue from federal grants increased by 8%, and auxiliary activity has returned to pre-pandemic levels with students returning to campus. She also said that the impact of inflation is real and compensation is our top priority. We strongly support the conclusion of Interim President Woodrow's speech, where she stated, "The right time is now. The right people are those you are with. The right thing is to do good. The time is always right to do what is right." Again, support staff members made sacrifices to help ensure the success of MSU during uncertain times. We believe your approval of a general wage raise increase will go a long way towards acknowledging equity across campus and investing to retain great people. We believe with our collective efforts that the university will continue to advance knowledge, transform lives, and through all these challenges, create brighter outcomes for all. Thank you for the opportunity to address this issue with all of you, and thank you for your services. We look forward to your response.
Thank you, Joe. Our next speaker is Deb Bittner, followed by Sean Starr.
Good morning. I'm Deb Bittner, president of the Clerical Technical Union of Michigan State University and president of the Coalition of Labor Organizations. I'm here today to tell you once again about the dedication of CTs on this campus. We work hard. We are dedicated to our jobs and our employer. We understand very well that we succeed only if MSU succeeds. In the past, we have stood before MSU when the legislature threatened to cut funds for extension, and during a two-week period in 2001, the members of eight MSU unions sent hundreds of emails and letters to state legislators to inform them about our funding gap. We have even spoken at a hearing downtown about MSU's unique relationship with its unions in terms of health care. We are proud to be Spartans, not only because we have great sports teams and a beautiful campus, although we're very proud of that too, but also because we believe in the university's mission of teaching, research, and community service. Many of us have attended and graduated from MSU. Many of us have family members and children who are MSU students, and we all benefit from MSU's research and community work. We all know that MSU can be a jewel in our own state. We work hard every day to make that a reality, and we are proud to be MSU employees. Look, we are also well aware of MSU's recent problems. We support efforts to stabilize our leadership and make things right. Throw in the pandemic, and this has been an overwhelmingly stressful few years. When MSU came to us and asked us to agree to furloughs, we did it. When the university's precarious financial situation became an issue in healthcare bargaining, we agreed to a cut in MSU's contribution to our retirement and a formula that promised lower raises. All of this means that we are continuing to make financial sacrifices even as inflation skyrockets, even as workers outside the university command higher salaries, and even though the extreme financial difficulties that MSU predicted did not, in fact, occur. But just as we know that we must work towards the success of MSU, support staff already knows that. Without us, MSU would be incapable of filling its role. Our interests are more than intertwined. In the long run, they are the same. That's what we ask you to understand. MSU leaders continue to say that it's time to invest in employees and continue to reference higher compensation. We need you to understand that MSU succeeds in its mission and with its students when its employees are treated fairly and equitably. Now is the time to invest in us. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Sean Starr, followed by Martin McDonough.
Good morning.
My name is Sean Starr. I am the president of AFSCME Local 1585. The approximately 900 members that I represent play a vital role in the success of the university and its students. They range from landscape services to veterinary medicine, culinary services, and facilities in the dorms, just to name a few. They have many positive interactions with the students and their guests on a daily basis. The members of Local 1585 share the same goal as you, the Board of Trustees, and other university officials, and that is university and student success and employee success. They take pride in their work, and they are proud to be Spartans. Since the onset of COVID, they have continued to report to campus as their duties require. They do not have the option to work remotely like much of campus does, and the rising cost of living, including gas prices, has created extra stress for them. In conversations with university officials, they have told me they understand the disparity, and they've asked me, what can we do to show appreciation for the employees? We recognize and are grateful for those steps that have been taken to this point. We worked with the university during that period in the best interest of not just my members, but the university in any way we could. This past year, Local 1585, along with some of the other bargaining units, requested an increase in compensation that we believe could help offset these rising costs of reporting to work and would show that the university truly recognizes and appreciates their efforts. We would greatly appreciate your consideration of our request and hopefully find a way to be able to grant that request. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joel. Our next speaker is Martin McDonough, followed by Valerie Von Frank.
I'll even jump off my own script. I was noted, he mentioned they've had landscape services. I was amazed. Spring thaw is normally the place when you see everything come out of the snow. The place was spotless when I walked from the parking lot. So thank you, Sean, and your staff. My name is Martin McDonough. I'm the current president of the Administrative Professional Association, otherwise known as APA. First, I'd like to congratulate a lot of our newly elected, re-elected, and appointed trustee, Board of Trustee members, Chairperson Vassar, Vice Chair Kelly, new trustee Deno, Naki Jefferson, and our newly appointed trustee Pierce. I appreciate this opportunity to bring the voices of over 3,000 APA support staff professionals before this body. The 2030 Strategic Plan Executive Summary states that we will focus on effective student support systems and providing holistic support for students' physical, mental, and emotional health and well-being. We all agree that student support success is the primary goal for everyone here. A critical element of their success is the work of our support staff professionals. March 2020 changed the world for all of us. Please think about the importance of our support positions and what they mean not only to the university, but above all, student success. I have people in admissions, housing and culinary, administrative, research, healthcare and counseling, and IT. That's just some of the ones. We've got 350 classifications. They exemplified their value to this university through their response to the COVID crisis, a historic situation that tested MSU support staff character. When we say Spartans will, well, my people did. They continue to do it today, even today. So I could not be more proud of how these people met the challenge. Recently, President Woodruff, you asked me a question. You said, how are your people doing? And my response was pretty quick and short. They're hurting. They're broken. They are strained physically and emotionally, and especially now financially. They are the professionals who provide the critical supports for our students, and we need to invest in them accordingly. We cannot wait any longer. These people are spent. Looking at the 2030 strategic plan and understanding the importance of support staff to the success of our students and the university, the path is clear. The time to invest is now. We succeed as a team, and we know failure is not an option. Thank you for your time. Go Green.
Thank you very much, Martin. Our next speaker is Valerie Von Frank, followed by Jayla Simon.
Since everybody is giving their credentials, I'll give mine. I am the mother of a 12-year-old girl who was raped on this campus. I'm here representing the voices of many parents who have formed POSSE. Dr. Vassar, I hope this is truly a new day. But you fired a pedophile in 2016, and you promised change. And here we are in 2023. We, POSSE, have been asking you to release records for 6 years, not 6 months, 6 years. And this week, a current MSU survivor, Miranda Dunlap, had to put in the paper her experience with sexual assault on this campus and your response to it. This is evidence still that MSU does not have it right, despite what you say. You've now voted on transparency for the crisis of the moment, but the problem you have is a long-standing instinct to deny harm, deflect blame, and try to burnish your brand instead of addressing the issues. The incorrect report given to the state certifying Title IX reviews, the Quinn Emanuel report, the lack of transparency in explaining the cuts to the courageous women swimmers and divers, those are all Title IX issues. Your federally ordered supervision from the Office of Civil Rights is a Title IX issue. The largest fine ever from the U.S. Department of Education, Title IX. Sexual violence on campus, Title IX. Volunteering to join Ohio State University in court to fight the survivors there, Title IX. There still has never been an outside investigation of the biggest known pedophile in U.S. history who worked for decades on this campus. And all we hear about is more issues with Title IX. Federal fines and penalties for not following specific aspects of the law are not the same as getting to the core of what's happening here. Stop holding more listening sessions where you ask survivors to pour out their hearts and give you answers that you don't listen to. If you're going to meet, let survivors explain. Let survivors listen to you explain why you're still failing to stop 1 in 4 women here from being sexually assaulted after they enroll. That's according to your own survey. Here are the main things POSSE parents have been asking for years. Release the 6,000 or more documents the Attorney General needs to complete the investigation that the board asked for. Recognize the value of survivors and work with us to include them on policy setting, decision making, and review teams. Focus on your OIE office, which handles sexual assault reports. Hire a permanent leader after a year and a half. Staff it. Provide development so that a survivor sitting at work doesn't get an email out of the blue asking this child what her rapist sounded like when he was attacking her. Miranda Dunlap, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I feel some responsibility, as every one of you should. I feel like I failed, Miranda, by not pushing harder and publicly for changes and for trusting that the most necessary changes had already been made. I ask you to follow the words of Elie Wiesel, the activist, author, and Holocaust survivor. I swore never to be silent whenever and wherever human beings endure suffering and humiliation. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. When will you stand up for survivors?
Thank you, Valerie. Our final speaker of the morning is Jayla Simon.
Good morning. My name is Jayla Simon. I'm a second-year student here at MSU, and I joined the Sunrise Movement just this year as part of a growing number of students and young people around the country. We recognize that a livable future is dependent on the decisions made about fossil fuel investments now. In light of that recognition, Sunrise believes that the new University Council resolution regarding sustainable and just investing is integral in the process of ensuring a better future for the communities MSU is supposed to serve. Investing with the social conscience framework and integrating a more collaborative and open investment process will be transformative in ensuring that you will work towards creating a sustainable investment portfolio that reflects the MSU community values. However, Sunrise believes that in order to create a sustainable investment portfolio in the future, you must first amend the current investments that do not fit into the given framework of values. Current explicit investments, like the tens of millions of dollars still put into fossil fuel corporations, and the implicit funding, like showing marathon ads at basketball games, do not reflect those values in the resolution. Therefore, we state that complete and immediate divestment from fossil fuels is a crucial aspect in the necessary steps towards a sustainable future. By not divesting now, you are violating every MSU community value that makes up the social conscience framework. Just to give a few examples, you violate integrity, equity, and respect by continuing to implicitly fund colonial violence and by failing to rectify the implications of the climate crisis on frontline communities. You violate collaboration by not listening to the demands of the student community and surrounding communities you serve. And finally, you violate excellence by ignoring the opportunity to be innovators in sustainability. Divestment is undeniably a part of maintaining the MSU community values, as listed by the strategic plan. While I might be new to Sunrise, our demand for complete fossil fuel divestment is not. Our continued presence has been met with belittlement and unwillingness to enact productive change, similar to many other groups who continue to express a lack of confidence in your ability to govern this institution. But in passing this investment policy resolution, you have the unique opportunity to reflect on and amend current investments. We strongly urge the board to use this resolution as a conceptual framework to understand that immediate divestment is a necessary step in committing to a social conscience and to building a just and livable future for all. We shouldn't have to question whether or not you are going to think about the future when you invest, because it is your responsibility as fiduciaries of this university to make prudent and reasonable investments. It is also your responsibility as an institution built on colonialism and racism to reinvest that money in order to start the process of healing from the harm that you've caused and continue to cause. Just last night, revolutionary black feminist philosopher and activist Angela Davis was here on campus, where she spoke at the university-sponsored event Slavery to Freedom. She expressed the imperative nature of environmental justice in combating just those same systems of oppression on our collective path to freedom. So if our words cannot persuade you to take this step in fulfilling your responsibilities to the university, then I hope that hers might. Passing this resolution, then, is one of hopefully many steps towards actually fulfilling your responsibilities. Those steps and the way in which to execute them are right in front of you. But it is up to you to rectify past investments to ensure a sustainable portfolio in the future. So please, stop standing in your own way and take this opportunity to restore the university's confidence in your ability to solidify a better future for all. Thank you.
Jayla, thank you very much. Interim President Woodruff, Chairperson Vassar, that concludes this morning's public comments.
Thank you. I now call upon Chairperson Rima Vassar to present the liaison reports.
Thank you for all the people who came to address the board. We will now hear the student liaison report.
Hi, good morning. I'm Carly Gomez. I'm the Vice President of Internal Affairs for COGS, giving an update on what we've been up to. This month, the Council of Graduate Students is excitedly anticipating our annual Graduate Academic Conference, which is taking place on February 18th at 9 a.m. This year, we are hosting approximately 200 attendees with about 50 poster presentations, 50 oral presentations, and 15 three-minute thesis competitors. Altogether, we're excited to say that this is twice as many participants as last year. At our last full council meeting, we passed a resolution to fund the Right Winning Grants workshop, which was highly requested and supported by graduate students. In our upcoming meetings, we plan to prepare for our annual elections, which take place in March. We are currently accepting funding applications for graduate student organization events and from individual students for conference awards. In the next several weeks, we are hosting a few social events and a mindfulness workshop. More information about our engagement with our student body is on our website. Finally, we would like to advocate for a graduate student representative spot on the Presidential Search Committee. Not only does the robustness of our student body warrant this representation, but we also maintain that including at least one representative is feasible given the size and composition of previous hiring committees. Thank you for your time.
Hello, everyone, and happy February. For those I have not had the privilege of meeting yet, I'm Joe Kovach, the ASMSU and undergraduate student body president. I want to start off by saying the Spartan support staff deserve greater investment in their work. They make MSU what it is, and their work is incredibly invaluable. Students appreciate you all immensely.
Thank you.
We continue to ask for the board to add another student liaison to the board that is representative of the Council of Racial and Ethnic Students and Council of Progressive Students. I provided the board with the language and resolution needed to do so and hope to see it pass to the next board meeting. As always, we continue to fight for complete divestment from fossil fuels at MSU. We have been leaders in divestment before, and it is not too late to do it again. Please read the University Council resolution and listen to those demands. Our degrees are worth nothing if there isn't a world to live in. February 2nd, 2017, that was the first time ASMSU passed a bill asking MSU to build a multicultural center on campus. Today marks the history of MSU standing with students from marginalized communities and providing them a space on campus that is solely theirs. Former ASMSU Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer Miracle Chapman and former Chair of CORES and COPS and Black Students Alliance President Sharon Reed Davis were absolutely instrumental in this happening, and they continue to receive ASMSU's undying gratitude. This is a project that is used in our orientations for new assembly members and for new staff members for ASMSU to showcase successful initiatives, and ASMSU is extremely excited for this project to break ground. Also, February is Black History Month. I hope you all spend some time this month at the many campus events happening and spending time engaging meaningfully with Black students. It is that engagement across campus, so faculty and students specifically, that built the Black Students Alliance in 1967 and faculty member Robert Green's basement, an organization that continues to provide a voice for Black students on campus today, 56 years later. ASMSU spends every single meeting explaining what our duty as mandatory reporters are. We teach every employee and representative what their duties are as such. So please make no mistake, if someone failed to report any and all relationship violence or sexual misconduct on this campus, they don't deserve to be employed on this campus. We look forward to the release of the Quinn Emanuel report. And lastly, I recommend everyone here to please read Miranda Dunlap's piece in the State News on her experience reporting sexual assault on campus. It echoes far too many others' experiences on campus reporting it. It's the reason far too many people do not report, and it further traumatizes victims, and it's extremely harmful. The system needs sweeping change and commitment from this board and every administrator in said change. Please release the Nassar documents and make changes, or please explain to survivors why you continue to fail us. Thank you, and go green.
Ani, bonjour, hola, hello. My name is Stevie Quijas. I'm the at-large liaison to the Board of Trustees. There's a lot that I had planned to say, but as of right now, I'd like to say that going forward, I hope that the board takes steps to not have survivors repeatedly come here meeting after meeting and to support student survivors on campus such that we don't need to have more media stories about this continuing here. MSU's slogan is Go Green, and the students here also want to help them live up to that as an ideal, but most importantly, as a practice, as a public institution, the institutions that we have reflect our values, and our current investments do not align with the moral values of the student body, who believe that they are also not in alignment with that of the institution. The insinuation that these policies are unwanted is categorically false, as evident by students' public comment here in this very boardroom today and demonstrations at football and basketball games. Students have urged the board to follow the recommendations of the Ad Hoc Sustainability Working Group, the University Council, and ASMSU. MSU has a long-standing history of being a leader when it comes to divestment, such as from South Africa during apartheid, and students believe we should show that same courage now. If not willing to include students as in the fiduciary decisions being made in boardrooms. I urge them to adopt the University Council resolution such that social governance and how that is defined and viewed by this board is clear, so that they can be held accountable for when those social governance is not exemplified. Lastly, regarding the presidential search, there's been a lot of turmoil regarding the president and the board this past fall semester, and a transparent and robust presidential search will be necessary to regain the confidence and trust of the Spartan community and alumni. I hope that the board continues to engage campus and community stakeholders thoroughly through listening sessions to seek the necessary input into the qualities and capacities desired within a permanent president. Chimi Gwech, and always go green.
That concludes your comments. Thank you so much. We'll now hear the faculty liaison report.
Good morning. We want to thank Chairperson Vassar for her past service as the board faculty liaison and welcome Vice Chairperson Kelly to that role. We look forward to working with you. With that, we met with the new liaison and the board on yesterday afternoon, and our report consists of the following. The board indicated their professional development training is getting underway. They said there would be a co-constructed development of the training's content with members of the contracted governance training firm, interviewing students, faculty, and staff. We welcome those interactions. We also had a positive, productive conversation about the presidential search and the various ways the presidential search committee could be composed, including students, our staff, other campus partners, stakeholders. So we are appreciative of that as well. Trustees were open to representatives being selected by their constituencies, and they appreciated the faculty's willingness to explore creative ways of getting community input on finalists without revealing their identities publicly. Also, we want to thank you for the resolution this morning to release the Quinn Emanuel report. Finally, a few things. The faculty want to echo and acknowledge our appreciation as well for our support staff who are our co-workers. I want to ask Joe, Martin, Sean, and Deb, and I hope I got everybody's name correct, that you reach out to us and let us know how we can collaborate with you on your efforts. And I guess finally, Dr. Gretner said something about kindergartner skills. I think moving forward together, practicing those kindergartner skills will serve us well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your remarks. And thank you for, again, to the people who make their way to the boardroom to talk with us. We really appreciate listening and hearing from you. My report will be brief. So I just want to first say happy Black History Month. Again, we have a lot of work to do if we are having 1 month in February, the coldest month, the shortest month, to honor the lives and legacies of Black Americans, because Black history really is American history. There would be no America without Black folks. And so to have this restricted to 1 month is heartening and disheartening all at the same time. So happy Black History Month. I thank you, Joe, for mentioning that. I want to start with a short story. I have a daughter who will graduate Mother's Day weekend, hopefully. And the things that you all talk about today, I am deeply always concerned about her health and safety on campus for all the things that you mentioned. But there's an added stressor that she has and that then by proxy I have, and that's with police contact. We do know that recently there was another incident, right, another death. Of a murder of a a young black man at the hands of police officers. And I worry about that, right? I worry about her, and I worry about me, and I worry about all my friends and family. But I wanted to highlight Sergeant Droping. My daughter had an interaction with him at a game. She called the manager, which I don't know where she gets that energy from, but she called the manager, and they actually called the police over. And she was, at that point, panicked. Like, Mom, she called me, Mom, they're calling the police. I just asked to talk to the manager. They called the police over. And so she put me, you know, I could hear the conversation. And she didn't say, you know, I'm Dr. Rima's daughter. She didn't say anything. She was really terrified. So she's listening to him. And he was so respectful. He was gentle. He was kind. He was even accommodating. Like, he came back to problem solve with her. All while I'm on the phone. And I said, well, get his name. And she asked, well, you know, what is your name? And he told me. So I immediately reached out to Sergeant Marlon Lynch. You know, as well as I know, for black people, summoning the police to address us, even in times of peril or our own mental breaks, can be detrimental. And often we don't feel safe around the police. My first board meeting, I was like, wait a minute. Like, I wasn't ready for TSA. Like, I wasn't ready. I just was like, wait. And I said immediately, is everything okay? Because to me, that's a sign of distress, not for safety. But Marlon Lynch has worked really hard to make sure that the police are doing what they're meant to do, which is to protect and to serve our students and to make sure people feel safe. So I really want to extend my thanks to him. He's not here today. And to the police officers who are under his leadership, who then are in community with MSU folks and really aiding to the feelings of security and belongingness that my daughter enjoys here and that I enjoy as well. She left with her nerves intact. So I was able to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's been a tradition for me since I was a small girl. I deeply respect his intelligence, his commitment to justice, and his love walk. And he was a barrier breaker, a way maker, a freedom fighter, and I just aspire to be like him every single day. I aspire to be like him. On January 16th, I walked arm in arm with Interim President Woodruff and members of our Spartan community during the MLK commencement march, starting at Beaumont Tower, one of your favorite places, with the owl, and concluding at the proposed location for the MSU Multicultural Center. This event keeps us connected to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy, and I just want to acknowledge Dr. Lee for June for your work. I know you don't want to stand, but I just really I just appreciate you continuing to bring us back to our roots of struggle and resistance, but triumph and victory as well. Thank you for your work here. In my first few weeks as board chair, I had the opportunity to meet with Senators Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters, thanks to the team that Kathy Wilbur assembled. I mean, it was a rock star team. We had a delegation, right, and met with members of the Association of American Universities and the Association of Public and Land Grant Universities. 2022 marked 50 years of the establishment of the Pell Grant Program. And in these meetings, we discussed the importance of doubling the Pell Grant, right, for the significant impact that it can have on supporting underrepresented, underserved, and vulnerable students. I would just hope that you, wherever you're seeing a lawmaker, you're saying these same things to them, right? I want to especially thank lawmakers Alyssa Slotkin, Sri Tanadar, and Dan Kildee for their time and support as we continue to advocate for Michigan State and prepare to lead students for a better world. The Multicultural Center, I want to again thank you, Trustee Scott, for your steadfastness to seeing this project to fruition. This freestanding Multicultural Center is a culmination of over 50 years of activism from various groups. and I'll just name them. Some of the student groups include the Council of Racial and Ethnic Studies, Council of Progressive Students, the Black Students Alliance, the Students for a Multicultural Building, and the Alliance of Queer and Ally Students, one of Michigan's first LGBTQIA organizations. Has modest beginnings, right? From the basement of the MS Union to the second floor and now a freestanding building in the heart of campus. I appreciate these efforts, and we look forward to breaking ground on the center this spring and having a physical representation of MSU's vision toward greater inclusivity. Almost lastly, the presidential search process. I know you all are anxious about this process. I heard it over and over and over again over the last couple of days. Recently, we took our first steps toward the beginning of our search, which was to have, as the Faculty Senate suggested, professional development, right? The kindergarten values that you're talking about of kindness and collaboration is the spirit of this board in working in transparency and transformative leadership. And with the undergirding of trust with the administration is our goal. And so we are working toward that with our own development. We have established a search chair and co-chair and additional board members. I'm pleased to share that trustees Deno and Scott will serve as chair and co-chair respectively on the committee, and they are joined by trustees Kanaki Jefferson and Kelly. I have heard, as trustee Deno has heard, the calls from students, faculty, and staff for input and additional information. I have full confidence in trustee Deno to lead an inclusive search. He's already started to think about this. These appointments mark the beginning of what we expect to be a collaborative effort that engages diverse communities. I have full confidence in my colleagues and the global Spartan community to help us select the best candidate to move MSU forward. Lastly, I do want to say that we started our meeting with a small icebreaker and get to know you. And one of the things that I reported is my favorite part about MSU is my favorite alum. And he drove all the way from Detroit to watch me share my first meeting. And I'm just so happy.
Stand up, Lucia.
Yeah, stand up,
Lucia.
When I say I don't deserve such support, I mean that. I have my daughter on my earrings today, his mini-me. I have the pleasure of having two people who look out for me in ways that I could never, ever, ever thank them for or express enough gratitude. Thank you for coming all this way. Okay. Go green.
Go white.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Bassett. We'll now move into trustee comments, started by Vice Chairperson Kelly.
Thank you. Let me start my comments by saying that despite having two outstanding educators, our chair, in her infinite wisdom, has appointed me as the faculty liaison. When I questioned this logic before everybody else could, the chair mumbled something about we all have to learn. Okay. So, having said that, the good news is that the faculty liaison are all educators, right? So you get a chance to educate me on this. But I do look forward to learning what your shared concerns are and working in the context of shared governance. So I look forward to that. Now, the cool thing about being the faculty liaison is I get to acknowledge all of the great things that the faculty are doing. So I have a little script here, and I want to make sure that I get through this. Recognizing work like the professors Edward Murphy and David Wheat, who recently received grants from the National Endowment of the Humanities in support of their ongoing research in Latin American history. Professor Murphy will be using this grant to complete a book in which he analyzes the way squatters and former squatters fit into the world of rapidly expanding electrical use. Professor Wheat's fellowship is in support of his current book project surrounding the experiences of free women of African origin in diverse maritime commercial circuits. I also want to take a moment to highlight the recent prestigious granting of three of our online graduate programs by U.S. News and World Report. Notably, the Broad College of Business online non-MBA program jumped from number 12 to 6 and moved 2 places to number 4 among U.S. public universities. The business program for veterans continues to rank number 3. The College of Education's graduate program ranks number 10 overall among public universities and is in the top 10 for disciplinary areas such as curriculum and instruction. For the 6th consecutive year, the College of Social Sciences online master's program in criminal justice is ranked 6th in the nation. I know the interim president congratulated our 5 faculty members who were elected as 2022 fellows of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, but as the liaison to faculty, I just want to echo her sentiments. This recognition reflects our outstanding work in the classroom and their role as trailblazers in STEM and society. I'm honored to report on such remarkable accomplishments that are the direct result of hard work and dedication from our faculty and academic staff in ensuring MSU is at the forefront of academia. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Kelly. Trustee Denham.
Wait, so what alpha order? How are we doing this?
Chair, vice chair, and then alphabetical.
So Byram should go next.
Oh, she's not here.
She took off. I'm sorry. Okay.
But in the future, yes.
I'm trying here. All right. So first, I want to thank Chair Vassar for her kind words and for having faith in me to chair the search committee for the new president, for everyone else on the board for their faith in me. I look forward to working with all the trustees on this important process, and I want to thank Chair Vassar for her leadership and making me proud of Michigan State University. So my father passed away last Monday. He was my hero, and he came to this country. He didn't have much in his pocket. My mom came to this country, and she didn't even know English. They both sacrificed a lot to make life better for their kids. I want to thank everybody in this room who called, who emailed, who sent texts, who sent really heartfelt cards. I think some carrier pigeons landed on my front door. I want to thank Interim President Woodruff for the flowers and the board for sending the flowers. I'd like to thank Dr. Beauchamp for showing up to the funeral. We had a nice little Seattle medical caucus there. It's an inside joke. But I just want to thank everyone. If anyone called or texted or emailed me in the past 12 days and I didn't respond, it's not personal. I'm not ignoring you. Just had a lot on my plate, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to my folks. And, again, thank everyone for their support.
Thank you, Trustee Dano. Trustee Kanaki Jefferson.
Sure, thank you. So I do have a bit of a script, some folks to thank, and then just a couple of brief comments of my own as well. And so the first event that my script starts, it's already been an eventful start to the semester. So, one of those events I've been asked to highlight is something that's actually really near and dear to my heart from my time as a faculty member previously with the law school. I was one of the co-founders of what was then called Reinvent Law. It's now the Center for Law and Technology. And we just had a Sparta hack, a student-run hackathon that was held in Wells Hall and in the new STEM building this past weekend. It involved over 500 students from Michigan State and surrounding universities competing to create innovative solutions using coding and technology. I have to wonder if they were using some ChatGPT. For those of you who don't know what that is, you need to know. It will tell you what it is if you ask it. Lots of local sponsors came together for this, including, you know, here at Michigan State. It involved MSUIT, the College of Engineering, the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. It also included our wonderful external partners like MSU, FCU, and Auto Owners, and TechSmith, and others. The students were overnight on this hackathon. Of course, they were, as students are. And the winners, the best hack that improves the Spartan experience, was awarded to the Sparty Bus Team. Their innovation is going to improve the public transportation experience by informing riders about when approaching buses have reached capacity. I understand we actually maybe need that for this room today, too. I'm told people were turned away by the fire marshal. But I think it's really exciting to see students coming together in that way. My own work on this, as I said, began on this campus over a decade ago, and it's just wonderful to see. And I can tell you how important entrepreneurship and innovation is to both how our students learn and understand, but also, of course, what they do in the world. Interim President would have already acknowledged the No More survey, so I just want to say a couple of more things about that, and really just very specifically to first acknowledge and thank the work of Dr. Carrie Moylan and Dr. Rebecca Campbell and also Jacob Nelson, a graduate student employee who led the effort for that study. It's really important for us to be understanding what's still happening on this campus, as difficult as it is, and as much as we don't want to have to be talking about it, we need to be. And they, of course, led the effort in conjunction with the RVSM Expert Advisory Work Group. That work group is going to be holding input sessions during the coming month to answer questions about the data, to look at what still needs to be done. And so I encourage everyone to join in those sessions. There's clearly much more work that needs to happen, whether we're looking at the broad data in a study like that, or we are reading, as I did, the very painful story from Miranda Dunlap that appeared in the State News. And so I have always been ever focused on that work. I continue to be. And I also will just say that I agree that institutions have a responsibility to learn from their history, and that we need to still look back. It's why in December of 2020 I sat here, and after having done my part to try as best I could to understand what happened on this campus when I wasn't here, related to NASA and my own review of those documents, that I sat here and called for their release, and then my position on that has not changed. And then the last thing I want to note is how thrilled I was to learn about the recognition of Michigan State as a top producer of Fulbright Awards. And in part, my own Fulbright story started on this campus. I hosted a Fulbright scholar when I was a very junior law professor almost 15 years ago. It set me on a course that would eventually send me to the other side of the globe as a distinguished chair in entrepreneurship and innovation for Fulbright at RMIT University in Melbourne, Australia. I now serve as an ambassador for Fulbright, so I'm very proud to have this feather in our cap, shall we say, at Michigan State. But I also want to just emphasize how important our university's involvement is, not just in the lives of the students and the faculty who receive these awards. Their lives are transformed, as I can tell you personally and my own family can tell you, but really the knowledge that they take to the country that they go to, the knowledge that they bring back, transforms everyone at the various institutions. And I want to give a special shout out to Joy Campbell, who has been leading that office and is a tireless champion for the students and faculty who have secured those honors. And then my final comment, I'll conclude with just by also acknowledging, I really appreciate, Joe, Deb, Sean, and Martin, that you came to remind us of our support staff. I can tell you, we see you. You know, I understand, you know, from my many years on this campus, just how much your work we take for granted, but we need, and so we see you and we hear you, and thank you for being here to share your comments today, too.
Thank you, Trustee Jefferson. Trustee Pierce.
Good morning. Let me just follow up on Trustee Renee and say that this is a day to celebrate the university's support staff, and I have the honor of naming a few that I haven't met yet, but I certainly look forward to it. But before I do that, I do want to recognize Joe Garza and Deb Bittner and Sean Starr and Martin McDonald for really standing up and representing the support staff at this university, because without them, we wouldn't be here. It's just as simple as that. And they're just as important as every other constituency on this campus. if not more so. So let me, if I can, again, I hope to meet all of you, but I'd like to recognize Landscape Services, which was already mentioned, and they are within the infrastructure planning and facilities. I didn't know what IFP was, IFPF, but it was explained to me. But think about this. They take care of more than 1,800 acres of developed green fields, roads and sidewalks, parking areas, and, of course, two golf courses for those of you that are golfers. That's just a lot. Think about the arborist, Trent Slee, Dustin Bates. I hope I'm not messing up these names. Andy Spitzley and Dustin Bates. They're responsible for tree removal efforts that take place during the winter months to decrease the ecological impact on the wildlife across our campus. How about gardeners Brandon Linton and laborer Mitchell Kaufman, who are working right now to help us get ready for spring if it ever comes? And then we've got our operations supervisors, Josh Ridner and Landscape Services Manager Matthew Bailey, for their work with Project Wingspan. That's a three-year project through a partnership that aims to improve the quality, quantity, and connectivity of pollinators across the Great Lakes region. Arborist Jerry Wall and in his role in the Beaumont Nursery, where seeds are from downed trees are grown in their early stages before growing strong enough to survive our outdoors. Then we have Alan Matthews, who works with our local 4-H students in the Tremendous Care Activity, teaching students how to keep our trees healthy. Brandon Piercefield and over 60 other landscape service team members who work diligently after every football game, can you imagine, to collect, transport, and dispose of all that garbage that's created on campus. They're the reason the campus continues to look so beautiful. And this initiative was led in part by Trustee Scott. So I'd like to recognize her in your support as well as these crucial support staff at our university. So thank you all. I'm so pleased and honored to be the new trustee, and I look forward. I'm so thrilled all of you have come to this room, and those of you that have spoken, we're listening. And our commitment on transparency is real.
Thank you, Trustee Pierce. That will segue nicely into Trustee Scott's comment.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
February is Black History Month, and I want to highlight the College of Osteopathic Medicine's 23rd annual Dr. William G. Anderson Slavery to Freedom Lecture Series. How many in here have participated in that? He's incredible. I'm going off script.
Okay.
But then I'll go back to script. Okay. So I'm going off script for a moment. They had an article in MSU Today about Dr. William G. Anderson. I'd never even heard of him. And the incredible story of how he started off, everything that he endured, going back to Georgia. If you've not read the article, please do. I mean, I just have so much respect for this man and the trailblazing that he has done. And so to have this lecture series named after him, I thought was just a phenomenal way to be dedicated to the work that he has started. And so I would encourage all of you to participate and go out and hear these great lecturers that we have. It has been a cornerstone of Black History Month at MSU for a long time, and the impressive list of speakers over the years have brought national figures to MSU. This year's speakers include Marley Davis, who founded 1,000 Black Girls Books at the age of 11 and collected over 13,000 children's books featuring Black girls as the lead character, and has been recognized as one of the most influential young people by Time and Forbes. Angela Davis, who I believe most of you know who she is, an activist and scholar who popularized our understanding of the prison industrial complex and emphasized the importance of building communities of struggle for economic, racial, and gender justice. Freeman Harbowski, who I believe we heard about earlier today, a former president of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, from 1992 to 2022, and an advocate for diversifying STEM fields. And then I'd like to also thank MSU's Marita Gilbert, the College of Osteopathic Medicine Associate Dean, for leading these efforts and the many other events, including efforts by Dr. Teddy Ransaw in the College of Education's K-12 outreach program, organizing the Sankofa Project, which is also something I believe most of you have heard of, another Black History Month anchor series at MSU. These are many, and many other events are the showcase of MSU's commitment elevating the remarkable work of Black students, our Black faculty, and Black staff across campus. You can find a calendar of events online at msutoday.msu.edu. And I'm happy to see our support staff being recognized. Thank you, Sandy, for highlighting their work, and thank you for the support staff for braving the cold and ensuring our campus is safe and accessible. So I'm going off script now. Script down, I did it. All right, so off script, shout out again to our support staff who I have had the opportunity of getting to know at Cal's House, Deb Bittner with the prior presidential search. I mean, so I've known some of these people for quite some time and have gained so much respect and admiration for them. And as Trustee Pierce has stated, our campus would not be what it is without them. I really see them, and hopefully this isn't offensive, but as the worker bees on this campus, it wouldn't be beautiful like it is. No one could do their jobs without the support staff, right? So I just want to give another round of applause. We appreciate you, everything that you do. I also want to thank the MSU media team because we have been trying through a series of highlighting the work. So I want Heather Swain to stand up. She's really been working on... And Emily as well. Thank you, because it's important for people to see they are kind of the unsung heroes on this campus, and I think highlighting what they do gives us more of an appreciation and gives them the recognition that they have long deserved. So thank you so much for continuing to recognize them. They are so worthy. Thank you all so much. I also want to, I guess Dr. Sarah Gretter, if I'm pronouncing correctly, is gone. But when we went to the Apple Academy, that was just so phenomenal. It was referenced that some of what they talked about we couldn't understand. But the excitement in not understanding what they were talking about that they showed and how they really did try to dumb it down for some of us and just the passion in which they are doing that work was just so exciting, invigorating. I love seeing the MSU Sparty Head and everything in downtown Detroit. So I just wanted to thank her for her work, but she's gone already. So hopefully, Doug, you can express that and I can reach out to her as well. I also wanted to recognize Dr. Lee June. I know you are just like, please, people. But I have to recognize you. You are the man. Vinnie Gore as well. This multicultural center would not be coming to us if it were not for the passion, the persistence, everything that you have done. I believe that you have been recognized, but I also want to thank you personally because through you, we have accomplished so much as African Americans on this campus. We thank you for your leadership. Vinny, we thank you for your commitment and your leadership to getting this done. So I just wanted to publicly thank you and recognize you as well. And I wanted to now kind of, I'm not going to go down the line with my trustees, but I did want to publicly again just extend my condolences to Trustee Deno. And I think he may have left. But I just wanted to say, oh, he came back. Okay. I just wanted to just acknowledge, you know, having lost a father and had an opportunity to talk with Dennis a little bit about his dad and the pride in which he sent all of us trustees some information about his dad, I just had to giggle because I'm like, man, he was a daddy's boy. I could just tell. And I, you know, Dennis, I'm just getting to know you, but I can tell you this. I believe that if it is true that their spirits continue to live, that your father is so proud of you right now and what you've accomplished, what you are doing. And I just wanted to let you know that his spirit lives on and just encourage you. It will get easier over time. It will never be perfect again, but I just wanted you to know, and I support you. And I'm so happy that you are a chair for the Presidential Search Committee. I look forward to, assisting you in whatever way I can as the co-chair. And I wanted to recognize our board chair. I think she has done a phenomenal job coming out of the gate. I am impressed, and I just think that great things are to come. You're already changing things. You're kind of rattling the cage a little bit like we knew that you would. And I just am very appreciative of the passion in which you are spearheading the things that are causing us to change and look at things in a different way, which is very important. And I appreciate your leadership, your steadfastness, and your cute dimples. And thank you, Lucius, for, because I don't know how you are the man. Wow. Stand up, Lucius.
Did you say you don't know how he does it?
No. Not that. But she's gone a lot, and I'm just like, there is no way she could do it if she did not have a supportive husband and father of her children. And so I just want to recognize you too, because man, it could lead to divorce court, or it could just lead to what we see here, which is the beauty of a good marriage and a man that supports his wife, who is a strong woman. And so I just wanted to shout out to you because you hold her down. And then I just want to thank Trustee Pierce, who I got to hug, and I saw her little boot. I didn't know she was, walking in a boot, but I am just... You're just a spitfire, and I love you already. I know you are going to just add so much to this board of what we needed, and I'm glad that we sit next to each other. You kind of look like Melanie a little bit, but with the glasses, and, so I look forward to working with you. And then lastly, Stefan, man, I just want to say he has knocked it out of the ballpark. We could not have made a better decision in our board secretary. Mm-mm. No offense, Brian Quinn, but I got to a meeting and I had tomato juice. I don't know who made sure. I've been asking for that for months. I finally had my tomato juice. No, you have really gotten us in order. You have treated us all equally. You make sure to disseminate information well. You are just incredible, and we are blessed to have you. You will be here probably long after my term is gone, and I just thank you for what you've already done to help us. I feel we're much more organized, and I know you're going to continue to whip us and get us together. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay. And I think that concludes my happy Black History Month, which is every day. It's already been said, but yes, let's celebrate us because we built this country. Okay? Yes. All right. That's it.
Trustee Scott, thank you very much. Trustee T-Bay.
So I did get a lovely talking points about some of the great stuff that's going on campus with student engagement, thanks to the leadership of Benny Gore. But unfortunately, I don't want to diminish your work, but I'm not going to read it today because based on the conversations that I've had with the students over the last couple of days, the results of the No More survey, Miranda's courageous article that she posted, and Valerie being here today, I'm just recognizing that, I'm not okay, and I don't expect our students to be okay, but we got to do better, and I'm not going to give anyone any lip service today about coulda, shoulda, woulda. We haven't done enough, and that's all I have to say. So I apologize.
No need to apologize, Trustee. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee T-Bay. Interim President Woodruff, that concludes this morning's trustee comments.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor? The meeting is adjourned.